This is Digital Story Podcast number 591, July 4th, 2017. Today's theme is Frederick Van Johnson Lives in New Orleans. I'm Derek Story. Some of my favorite moments during the Rail Adventure Workshop were our one-on-one meetings during the 19-hour train journey through the South to New Orleans. And one of the names that often came up during our discussions was my friend Frederick Van Johnson and his podcast, TWIP, This Week in Photo. Friends asking about friends, Southern hospitality, street photography, and so much more. All of this on today's TDS podcast. Before we get to New Orleans itself, I want to address an issue that came up along the way, which is the well-being of Frederick Van Johnson. Now, you may be wondering, well, how does this come up in casual conversation on a train riding through the South and all that kind of stuff? Well, it's actually quite logical when you think about it, because when I'm meeting with people that are either podcast listeners or they're folks that are part of the workshop, we talk about all sorts of things. We talk about photography. We talk about, you know, the goals that they have for our upcoming shoot. And we talk about podcasting. And we talk about the digital story. But a lot of folks that listen to the digital story also listen to other podcasts, the Petapixel podcast and This Week in Photo with Frederick Van Johnson. Now, the thing about This Week in Photo is that it has been on a hiatus. And the hiatus was supposed to be for a shorter period of time, shall we say. And it has drawn out to be a bit of a longer period of time. And as a result, when we're talking about podcasting, people have been inquiring, well, do you know what's going on with TWIP? Because chances are quite good, it's one of the other podcasts that they listen to in addition to the digital story. And so I had assumed that Frederick was okay. I had seen him not that long ago. He had told me that he was going to work on some stuff and kind of refresh things a bit. But just like everything else, sometimes time passes much faster than we think it will. And so I'm thinking, well, I just talked to him not that long ago. Well, that long ago turned out to be a few months ago. So when I got back from New Orleans, I decided, here's what I'm going to do. Since this topic came up so often, I'm going to drop Frederick a line and see how he's doing and invite him on the show and let him tell you what's coming down the pike and what he's been up to. And that's exactly what we have for you today. I'm going to turn it over to our short little chat between Frederick and I. That'll bring you up to speed, and that will answer one of the two major questions that I was asked while on this recent Chicago-New Orleans road trip. The other question you may be wondering, well, listen to this and you'll find out. So guess who I have on the air here? I have the man himself, Frederick Van Johnson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Derek. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of a lag from my travels, first day back in the office, but I had a successful trip in Chicago and New Orleans, and I'm feeling fantastic.
You've been running around the country like a madman. That's great.
I'm a madman, and I just happen to be in other parts of the country. This is true. It works out that way. So I got to tell you a little story here that you'll get a kick out of. Okay. While I was hanging out in Chicago, we had a lot of listeners there. Out of Chicago is probably a good fit for, you know, Virtual Camera Club, Nimble Photographer, digital story types, right? Mm-hmm. So I had these cool conversations. And one of the questions that came, well, I'll tell you right now, there was two major questions that came up. First one, not going to make any sense to you, which is, you know, how's the Vanagon? Which I can't answer that question yet because I don't know.
I have question marks above my head.
Yeah, marks above your head. Everyone else listening will know what I mean. All right. Second number one question was, do you know anything about Frederick? Is he okay? You know, is he like, did he just go off into a hermit cave or something? And I said, well, you know, I saw him at a Warriors game, right? We went to, had a good time. You seem fine to me. Okay, I'll be honest with you. You seem pretty okay. You look like your normal self. Let's get him, you know, let me find out and let me get him on the air. This is what I did. I texted you, last night?
Yep.
and say, Frederick, how the hell are you doing?
And that's all it takes, right? Literally, you know, it's funny. Like, people are like, we live in a world of social media. And granted, you know, I'll preface this with, yes, I did disconnect. And we can discuss why in a second. Mm-hmm. But in the world of social media, if you stop posting, then literally it's like, wait a minute. This person is gone off the face of the planet because I'm not getting updates. It's almost like you unplugged from the EKG machine or something.
It's a virtual death, isn't it?
It is a virtual death, or a virtual, suspended animation or whatever. It's crazy.
You know, all of us at one time or another have wanted to disconnect. Believe me, you know, when, you know, I get really busy with projects and so forth, and I'm going, I really don't feel like being social right now, but you know, so it tapers off a bit, but I think you went a little darker than that. So what's mm-hmm. okay? All right, buddy. So here we go. It's just you and me. No one else is listening. Okay.
No one else is listening. No, you sure? I'm on the couch. I'm on the couch, and there's a closed door session.
Closed door session. So. All right.
Well, I mean, it's a great question, and your timing was perfect because we're, you know, the This Week in Photo is about to relaunch. It's been under redesign for about a month or so. And it's going out with a brand new look and a brand new kind of focus and all that. And I'll tell you why in a second. But the top level main reason, and I tell people this if they ask me directly. I'm not broadcasting, you know, this is what's going on with Frederick as if the world cares, right? So, you know, like right after, let's rewind a little bit.
All right.
It was like a series of events, you know, like Limit These Snickets, an unfortunate series of events. But I'll just say, we'll take the unfortunate off of it and just say it was a series of events. And it was starting around, and we'll leave it at this. It was starting around the elections and moving past that. It was kind of a series of waves that hit, you know, the election stuff, and then I had some really severe family stuff happen that took my attention away from, you know, all the normal repetitive things that happened in my life, TWIP included. I bought a house. I sold my house and building another house. So I'm quote unquote homeless right now because I'm living in I have a nice apartment that I'm living in while they finish building the house. So, you know, all that. You can imagine the logistics of selling a house, building a house, finding a place to live, storing your stuff, all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
so all
boy.
That's going on amidst all this other family stuff. And then the overlying thing on all of this was, you know, frankly, between you and I, Derek, you know, I know we're in our closed door session.
Just us, man.
Just us. You know, it was, and I know you've gone as you've been podcasting longer than I have. The This Week in Photo was kind of getting to a point where I felt like it needed a reset in a lot of ways. You know, the network itself, TWIP, myself, the way we were doing things, advertising, all that stuff. It just, you know, it started feeling less fun to me, you know. And I've said on the show often that This Week in Photo was kind of like my weekly therapy session. And it was becoming not as much of a therapy session. It was still fun. It was just not, you know, it wasn't like normally I would look forward to doing the podcast. And it was getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I got to go do that podcast again, you know. And then that's when it's time to reassess what you're doing. Because I love podcasting. I love the listeners and I love the show. And obviously I love photography. So I felt like I was doing a disservice by phoning it in those last few episodes. So I decided, okay, let's just take a step back. And granted, I took a giant step back. But I said, let's take a step back and rethink A. Then, you know, again, behind closed doors, I don't even think, A, do I even want to be doing this? Like, should I just like reset and go do something completely? Yeah, I want to podcast. Should I start a brand new podcast? Should I join someone else's podcast? Should I stop podcasting completely and acquiesce, you know, or give TWIP listeners to someone else? Or just what should I do? So I wanted to kind of go off to an island and think about this stuff and kind of figure out what's best for me, what's best for, you know, me or my growth as a photographer, as a podcaster, as a creative content creator, and as a photographer, what's best for me at this stage in my life. And, you know, what's, and more importantly, what's best for the listeners. You know, how can I best serve the TWIP listening audience and the photography world with the stuff that we're doing on This Week in Photo? And I think I came to the conclusion of how to do that, which is why we're not stopping and we're relaunching, and it's going to be stronger than ever, probably within the next couple of days or so. But that's the gist of it. It was the, you know, all this stuff happened at once in waves. It was like I was on the ropes, and then I got like three more Mike Tyson hits.
Boy, you know, I know.
While I was on the ropes, and I had to lay down, man. I had to pretend to be dead for a minute.
So. Those hurt. Those hurt, man. Okay. So you went off, and you took care of life a little bit. Yeah. And while you're taking care of life, I imagine you were thinking about, you know, these things that you brought up. What made you decide to come back?
Well, because I love it. I never really left. I just stopped communicating. Well, you know, obviously we put the show on pause and shelved some shows and all that. But, you know, I haven't gone anywhere. To people that ask me directly, you know, I'll tell them exactly what I just told you. It's the folks that haven't asked me directly, or, you know, assume that because, you know, they haven't reached out to me or I haven't posted on social media in a while that, you know, something horrific must be happening, you know. So, you know, but really all you had to do is like you did. You just send me a text and ask, hey, what's going on? You want to talk? Yeah. Sure, why not? You
know, so, right.
You know, it's as simple as that. That's the simple equation. But yeah, you know, like just the reason, yeah, to answer your question, why did I come back? So I'm back, A, because I love this stuff. B, I feel like with the adjustments, I feel like I can better serve the or I can add to, not like we're the only podcast out there, obviously, that's serving the audience. But I feel like with some changes that I've made, I can better serve the audience and advertisers. And I missed it. You know, frankly, I missed it. I missed building what we put together, and the new site, the new TWIP, and the new flow, the new way that we're doing things, it's much more focused. And I think that was a lot of the issue with the way we were doing things before. And I'm using we as in the royal we. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of getting to be like a hoarder's garage in a lot of ways. You know, no offense to the hoarders out there, but it was, you know, you just keep putting stuff in there and you put it off. And one day I'm going to get to that lamp, but I can't throw it away because I need it. And, you know, TWIP was very much feeling like that, both on the back end and on the front end. So at a certain point, you just got to be like, you know what, we're going to take this week and we're going to clean out that garage and we're going to reorganize. We're going to throw stuff out and we're going to put it all back and make it actually into a functional garage that we can use. So that's kind of the analogy that I use with TWIP. You know, going forward, I wanted to create something that was actually useful, not a Winchester mystery house or a Frankenstein of all these different ideas that came together over time that we're kind of pushing because they all have their own merits, but instead focusing on one main goal, and that's serving the audience. And that's what I wanted to get back to.
All right. Well, right on that. So you're going to have me on the new show, or am I like one of those old dusty vases in the corner of the hoarder's garage?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to. Sorry, Derek, you're kind of like the oily tire over there with water in it.
Oh, that's nasty, man. That's nasty.
It's got some mold growing on it, you know. No, man, of course. Yeah. Like and that's the other thing I want to be clear about. It's not a human thing where, you know, there's too many, you know, hangers on and people that are on TWIP that aren't worth it. Everybody that's involved with TWIP is awesome, is aces. It was more of the infrastructure and how we're doing things and the messaging of the show. And here's an example. I know I'm being very high level about it, but here's an example. Like advertising. Podcasts, as you know, are supported by many of them are supported by either donations, advertising, or sponsorship, or some culmination of other things around there, whether it be merchandising or workshops and all that other stuff, right? So TWIP was, and this is, TWIP is a reflection of me, obviously, right? So it's very like, it was becoming very shiny object. Like, oh, here's an affiliate thing that we can do. I want to get into that. Or hey, let's put a store on the site. Yeah, we have traffic. We can do that. Or, hey, let's participate in this particular program, you know, or on and on. So it was all these different things with no rhyme or reason and not a whole lot of – there was some rhyme or reason, but there wasn't a whole lot of planning. A lot of it was serendipity. So, you know, going back to my military background, I decided to add a little bit more of that military strategic planning into how we do things and clean it up and, you know, make sure we had those hospital corners on the bed to continue with the analogies and then and press forward like that. Just to, you know, it's like, you know, to make the thing back to what it was before, more fun. It's more fun for you to come on and co-host. The traffic hopefully will get, you know, expand larger because we'll be serving the audience better, which is the ultimate idea of all this, is to serve the photographers that are out there while serving ourselves. It's kind of like cold fusion. You can't deliver output without input, you know? So we need the traffic, but to get the traffic, we have to put out a good product, and it's a circular kind of, you know, momentum there.
This sounds good. So, hey, when I do the headline for this week's podcast, can I put TWIP reboot? I like it too. I like it's clean.
Yeah, I like TWIP reboot. Yeah.
I like TWIP reboot. All right.
Yep. All right. So I like it.
All right, buddy.
or TWIP returns, you know, like Godzilla returns.
Okay.
Or something.
All right. Maybe that. All right. Good. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone. All right. So you heard it from the man himself. And Frederick, I want to be the first to welcome you back. And thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for the warm welcome back. I'm excited to, you know, now that I've said all this, now I actually have to put my money where my podcasting mouth is.
You do, because it goes live tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. See you later.
Great to hear Frederick's voice again, isn't it? All right. Well, let's move on to the city of New Orleans itself, because that was also at the heart of my activity for the last week. And I tell you, this was a special experience. A big thanks to Tilly Van Etten and also her husband, Fred Van Etten. The two of them teamed up. They're based right outside of New Orleans. And the two of them teamed up to really be our boots on the ground as we were planning this workshop and as we executed this workshop. Tilly has a site called Images by Tilly, and she is an excellent portrait photographer. She's also a travel photographer, but I got to see her studio, and she's, wow. In addition to being a good talent, she's got a cool place to work. So anyway, Tilly and Fred really helped us make sure that our visit in New Orleans ran smoothly and was fun and had a big dose of Southern hospitality, which it did. So as I think back on this trip, I loved my time in Chicago. I loved the train ride. I mean, the train ride for me was really magical. I can't wait to do something like that again. And then I thought about, okay, what are the five things while we were in New Orleans that really stand out to me? And so that's what I'm going to talk about right now. The five things that really tickled my fancy right there in fantastic Louisiana. Here we go. The first one. This one's going to make you laugh a little bit. Shrimp tacos in the French Market. I know that I shouldn't lead off with food, but how can you not when visiting Louisiana? In addition to the freshest shrimp taco I've ever had, I ate my way through the South trying a variety of local specialties, including my introduction to tasso, which is a seasoned pork shoulder, by the way. Tasso, a seasoned pork shoulder that is smoked so long that it's almost dried, and then you use that in other dishes, and it's fantastic. I've already cooked with it once, and it was amazing. Yes, I brought some home. That's why I was so concerned about losing my luggage on my return trip home, but that's another story. But anyway, the food in Louisiana, and I have been there before, it's always a standout feature. And the moment that really sticks out in my mind was we had had a good morning shooting, And we had some time in the French Market, free time, to just explore all the different food and everything and buy something that we wanted and then take a little time off and go back to the hotel. I'm going up and down and everything looks great. Everything smells great. I'm getting all sorts of good recommendations, but I see this one stand selling fresh shrimp tacos. I mean, shrimp right off the boat with this beautiful Cajun seasoning. And I said, that is for me. I ordered two of them and then had a bite of a quesadilla also. And my gosh, I had that with a local beer for my lunch. And it was a nice warm day. We were sitting in the shade, but it was a nice warm day. It was one of those 90-90 days. And I tell you, I was as happy as a boy could be, especially a boy who loves tacos. Next one. You know, these are tough because there are so many, but another one that comes to mind, and I try to do the ones that come to mind right away. But the next one is Wednesday morning in the French Quarter. So the way that Wednesday was working is that initially the weather report said that we're going to have thunderstorms all day. You can imagine how excited I was about that. And then the thunderstorms started to move back as the weather report evolved. So I'm following the weather report the day before and just trying to gauge what to do. So in fact, on Tuesday night, everyone else went out to dinner and I didn't, because I really wanted to study our schedule and try to figure out how to work around this weather situation. And when I went to bed about 11 o'clock that night, the thunderstorms weren't supposed to start until about 11, maybe 12, 11 a.m., maybe 12 noon. And I'm going, okay, what I'm going to do then is front load the morning with shooting. So instead of having a class session in the morning after breakfast, we all eat breakfast together, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Instead of having a class session, just get right out there and be shooting early. And then that way we can get a lot of shots in. And if the storms do come midday, then okay, then we've got something to work on while we're in the classroom. So I did that. I got us out in the French Quarter earlier than I had initially planned. Well, as it turned out, the thunderstorms never came that day. They never came. They kept sliding back and back and back. Yet, we still had this wonderful morning in the French Quarter. While the French Quarter was coming to life, it was completely different than being there in the afternoon or being there in the evening. And we were just there together, just sort of surveying the streets, taking pictures, splitting up a little bit, but not too much. And it was quiet and beautiful. The light was gorgeous. And we got to see this part of Louisiana coming to life. And it was just a great moment. It was a great moment being there while this was happening. It was a great moment sharing it with the other folks in the workshop. So that turned out to be really one of my very nice memories from New Orleans. Number three. And this one is another food item. You may be thinking, well, Derek, you know, you're a little obsessed with food here. Not really, but how can you go down there and not have food be part of the story, right? But this is a little different because the hotel that we stayed at, which is the Hotel Provincial, and I highly recommend this hotel. This hotel had so much to do with the success of our workshop. And they're right there, right off the French Quarter, Hotel Provincial. Part of what they did was is that they would provide us with a full breakfast in the morning. Now, I had to pay for it, but it was really nice breakfast, and they provided the room for us to eat it in. So what happened was that we had this really wonderful breakfast. I'm talking about eggs and sausage and ham and bagels and Greek yogurt and fruit and drinks and coffee. And I mean, the whole deal, right? The whole deal. So we would come in. And about 7:30, 7:45, and everyone would come in and get their breakfast, and then we'd sit in our classroom table there, and I had it set up in a square so that we're all kind of facing each other. And we'd have our breakfast and talk about last night, talk about the day ahead, talk about anything, really, photography, being in the South, the whole deal. And again, it was a little bit like what I'm talking about Wednesday morning in the French Quarter, but having these breakfasts together where it's just us and we're hanging out and we're in our work room and the breakfast was so good. It's just one of those moments. It's if you've ever sat down and had a really good family meal with people, and you just feel like you're a part of something and you're breaking bread with them. That's the way this was. And it's funny the things that stay with you, but breakfast in the classroom was definitely one of those memories that really has stayed with me since I've returned from Louisiana. Number four, Sergeant Mark Mummy. Okay, Sergeant Mark Mummy. Oh, this is, I just love this story, to tell you the truth. So Sergeant Mark Mummy works for the New Orleans Police Department. And one of the great pieces of advice that I got from Tilly and Fred for our Twilight into Evening French Quarter shoot on Wednesday night, that we really should have some security. And I thought, okay, that's a great idea. We should have some security. Tilly found Sergeant Mark Mummy for us, and we hired him. And he has a really important role in the New Orleans Police Department, and he's part of the vice team. I think he oversees the vice team. So he sees a lot of stuff. Big, barrel-chested man, a very pleasant demeanor, and he took care of us. And it was so cool. I've never done an urban shoot like this before, where we had someone watching our back the entire time. And I know the other folks in the group really felt this too. And really, for the first time in the French Quarter, I could focus on photography. Now, normally when I'm leading a workshop, I can't really focus on photography that much because I'm looking out, you know, for the other participants. That's my job. But because we had Sergeant Mark Mummy, I could actually do a little photography. And I had this great shoot on Wednesday night. The quarter was hopping, but not hopping so much where I couldn't get clean shots of stuff. And just knowing that he was there, and every time I'd turn around, he would be positioning himself so that he could see everyone in the group. It was really fantastic. And then on our way to dinner, which he escorted us to dinner, we stopped at the police department, the New Orleans Police Department. He took us behind the scenes. We got to go into his office. I photographed him. I have this wonderful black and white photograph of him sitting at his desk, shuffling some papers there. And I shot it wide so you could see sort of everything around him. He was a great guy. He had great energy. And having someone look out for us like that was definitely one of the best expenses, you know, one of the wisest expenses I had on this workshop. And just a big thanks to Sergeant Mark Mummy. You took good care of us, and we shot the heck out of Wednesday evening as a result. And finally, the fifth one. This one probably won't surprise you, but our class presentation on Thursday was special. So we had started this workshop in Chicago. We had a shoot in Millennium Park before we even left. And we shot the bean. We went over to the Crown Fountain. We were all over the place there and really got a lot of terrific shots. So we had that under our belt. Then we had the train ride. Then we got down into Louisiana and we shot there. So by the time we got to class presentation, there was a lot of stuff to choose from. And also by the time we got to class presentation, as a group, we had, you know, really, you know, solidified. And I was talking to one of the members of the group, and I said, it's very interesting, you know, critique is a wonderful thing. Many of us want critique, but it has to be in an environment of trust. And the way these workshops are designed is that we have the days before the presentation where we're getting to know each other and where we develop that trust, so that when we get to the presentation and people comment about your photos, you really feel like that they're, you know, genuine comments. And he, you know, I could tell the one person I'm talking about here is Peter, and I could tell that that resonated with him, and he shot with confidence and he had a terrific presentation on that Thursday. And I just have to say that this is one of my favorite features of the photo workshop, is where we all get together for the final show. People show 8 images, they talk about their stuff, we talk about their stuff, and everyone gets to share. And it's a great way to end the event. And I tell you, after the presentation, I feel even closer to everyone than I was before. And this one was no exception. And it was fun seeing images from Chicago all the way down into New Orleans in one show. What a blast. So those are the things that really stand out. Thank you, everyone who helped put this workshop together. And thank you to the participants who, You are the guys and gals that made this a hit, all of you. And I just so appreciate your talent and your energy and your goodwill and your endurance to walk with me. I know I walk you a lot, but thank you for putting up with it. And I can't wait to do the next one. I really can't. How to choose a color for your photo mat. This is a really cool piece. It's provided by the Image Framer folks. And of course, their tool, Image Framer, is a great tool for designing mats, for trying different types of mats around your images, so that you have complete confidence when you go to purchase a mat that is going to look spectacular around your photo. But you know, it's interesting. Okay, you can design your mat with Image Framer and you can test it and everything, but what are some of the things that you should be looking for when you're working with mats and trying to match a mat to a particular image? So I have some great information for you here. This is really terrific stuff. Let me read you a little bit about what they wrote, and then I'm going to give you four tips to keep in mind, okay? A mat can be described as a field of light or color around a picture, in width usually 1/2 to 1/3 of the image's narrowest side. Mats can be different shapes and kinds, rectangular, oval, multi-layered, with decorative insertions, etc. The mat creates a neutral zone between the picture and its frame, helping the viewer to focus on the artwork itself. Isn't that nice? That's really nice stuff. That's from the Image Framer site. And I have a link to this complete article here in the show notes. And if you like what you hear over the next minute or so, I highly recommend reading the entire article. There's so much good information in there. And the article is called How to Choose Mats for Photos. And again, I have the link there. Okay, so here are some tips to keep in mind while designing a mat. The color of a light mat should be a tone darker than the lightest color of the image. If using a dark mat, its color must be one tone lighter than the darkest color on the photo. Good stuff. One tone lighter, all right? Using a colored mat is a good way to attract attention to important segments of a photograph. In this case, the surrounding color must be the same as the brightest segment of the image, but in more muted tones. The simple trick of a double mat will give a personality to the artwork. Two or even three mats of different shades can be applied. The color of the inner mat is usually chosen from a particular tone in the image, which may be lighter or darker than the outside mat. And finally, it is important to remember that the colors and shades of a mat must be chosen to complement the color of the frame and the main color of the picture. Really nice, huh? Image Framer offers a huge selection of mats, and you can really put your image in there. Apply these principles. If you don't remember them, just go to the show notes. They're written up for you, or you can go to the article itself, which is also in the show notes. Go ahead and design your mat. Get something that looks really good. And then if you want, if you're going to do the paper version of this, then go buy that mat, you know, based on what you designed. You can take that design right in and show it at the art store or at the framer, wherever you happen to go. And it's amazing how much difference in a positive way a great mat makes for making your image jump off the wall even more. There's a tile for Image Framer 4 on all the pages of the digital story. This is a terrific application, and I just love talking about its different features. I was really excited when I read this article, and you know, matting to me has always been a bit of a dark art. It's far less dark right now. In fact, it's one shade lighter than it was before. Image Framer 4, a terrific application, sponsor of the digital story, and has a tile on all the pages of our site. Okay, just a few closing notes for today. Big thanks to all of our Patreon members. Again, I met more of you while I was out and about. Thank you so much, all of you. I so appreciate you helping me keep the lights on here. Also, I want to mention that we have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the digital story. If you're going to buy something, if you will click on them first, That will take you over to a page on either Amazon or B&H. And then you can find the item that you want. And this helps support the site. We get affiliate income when you do that. And it's much appreciated. And finally, just a super big thank you to Red River Paper. We had a great event in Chicago on my first printing talk that I did there on creative printing. People really like the projects. And subsequently, I have received at least 4 or 5 emails of people showing me projects that they made based on my printing talk right after they got home. And both the square prints, and, you know, framed square prints, and the square greeting cards in particular were big hits. Red River Paper made this all possible, and they provide the paper and all the other supplies that we need to make great art. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a fantastic Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. That is going to do it for me this week. What a week it was. I still haven't landed, really. My feet are still a little bit off the ground. Could be from sleep deprivation, I don't know, but I had such a great time working on some really good topics for the next couple weeks. I may do the DJI Spark drone review next week. I have many other topics that I'm working on too. Come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Go take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.